Did you make faces when you saw the story about LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers? Zach Jackson, 722. Did you make faces?
Well, I have like a Bobby Knight game face that okay. I make. When people ask what Bobby Knight's game face is, what would he do? He'd start to make all these weird twitching faces.
So the Lakers are interested in moving on, it seems. That according to Brian Windhorst, Ramona Shelburne, that by spring of next year, he ain't going to be a Laker anymore. They're going to build around Luka. They're going to move forward here. I think LeBron, for the first time in his career, is seeing what it's like on the other side. And I think there's a lot of Cavs fans over the weekend, this morning. And again, we'll talk more about Quinshon Judkins and everything else going on there at 722. But we had to talk about this. Is I think there are a lot of Cleveland fans who are saying, I told you so, over the weekend when it comes to LeBron. Because you know, this is a guy who I think his shadow is probably bigger than the Cavs. There's people who don't want to admit that, but it is. I would say it's, you know, you got Dwayne Wade there. Maybe his shadow is bigger in Miami, but bigger than the Heat. Regardless, his shadow is bigger than the Heat. But in Los Angeles, I'm sorry, you're at the end of your career. You're, even though he won the championship there, he's not known for that championship. He's really known for the Cleveland championship in 2016. And maybe the back-to-back's a little bit more in Miami. But certainly the 2020 championship is a championship that happened in a bubble, happened at a different time of year. Just seems to be this weird thing that I don't think a lot of people really remember. And you're just not in that city while he is going to be a guy who's beloved here. Statue here, statue in Akron. He's not that guy in Los Angeles. He's not Kareem. He's not Magic. He's not Kobe. And I'm surprised to a level it's going this way. I thought really they would stick with him basically until the very end. I'm surprised, but it would be the prudent move. But for LeBron, I think that this is an example about why he's, or the reason why he's been doing all this stuff over the last couple of weeks. The Cleveland stuff, the golfing, the on the boat with people in his jersey, things like that. Like, I think that this is definitely him wanting to say he wants to be admired again and respected again for what he does.
Did you see he didn't even text DeAndre Ayton? Like, Ayton said he got all these texts, and he did not get one from LeBron James.
But I'm not surprised. I think that he doesn't feel that he wants to be his teammate, that LeBron doesn't want to be his teammate. And I think that he's probably upset. I think he would love to facilitate a trade. Now, so many people had brought up, well, if he really wanted to facilitate a trade, he would have taken, he would have opted out and taken the minimum or something like that. Yeah, I think that's easier said than done. If I were mad at an organization for me feeling used, which you can feel, you can laugh at that all you want, but that's how he feels. If you feel like you've been used by an organization, you're going to take every single damn dime they owe you. And then you're going to make them figure it out, because he's still a guy who commands a lot of attention. And I do think that he would command something back in any sort of a return in a trade. You know, I don't know what teams can actually do something. I think that the Cavs actually doing something is going to be pretty difficult to do. But I think that he still, and it's true, he believes he can still do what he wants. He can still do what he wants. And if he decides by the time camp comes around that I don't want to be a Laker anymore, then he can, damn it, he's going to probably decide that. And we will be off to the races on a sort of move for him. But he has to come out and officially say he don't want to be a Laker anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's doing everything he can. Because I think he's still kind of trying to keep his toes dipped in multiple places,
mm-hmm.
because he doesn't ever want to be perceived. Like, he loves the gossip. He doesn't mind that.
Of course.
But he doesn't want to be perceived as tanking a season before he goes into it for a team. So he's never going to come out, you know, flat out and demand the trade. He'll squeeze you.
You really
don't
think so?
He'll squeeze you from the outside.
And you really don't think so? I mean, Kobe himself did demand a trade once on a radio show.
He has his agent to do that. I mean, he has Rich Paul to make things as uncomfortable as he can. And Rich Paul is one of the most influential, high-powered agents in all of sports right now.
But don't you think it would be easier for him to do that? Don't you think it would be easier for everybody if he were to come out and say, I want to be traded, I don't want to be here? And I think he specifically, because I think that he cares about legacy, I don't think that he would just want to be traded to Dallas or somewhere else. I really do think that this is the place where he would want to be traded to, and this is going to stare us right there in the face. Because if he comes out and he says,
what about the Knicks?
You know, from what he said about James Dolan before, I find it hard to believe, but maybe there's a possibility.
I mean, he came back and played for Dan Gilbert.
He did. That's why I think that they're still very... The time has passed. It's a better organization than what it was. It is Mike Brown as the head coach. I mean, Mike Brown is their guy. I don't know if that would have a negative or positive effect for him. I would feel it be more negative
for
him.
Though? But when did he last play for Mike Brown?
Been a while.
It is so
been a while.
That's what's so crazy is, like, you saying that, I had almost forgotten.
Yeah.
Like, it's been that many years, so I don't know. It seems like Mike Brown has a pretty damn good reputation now in the NBA.
Wherever he goes, wherever he goes, like, the Knicks, if he were to lead the Knicks to a championship, how big of a move would that be? It'd be big. If he ended up in Golden State, if he ended up at Golden State the way that people talk, I think it would be more Steph's championship than his. I think that he takes on that Kevin Durant role of adding on to an organization. Here, if he comes back, let's call it what it is, I think he wants his power. I think he wants his standing still in the NBA. I think he's only got 2 years left and he still wants it his way. But I don't know how realistic of a chance it's going to be. I still don't find it to be really realistic with what they have to do, with the maneuvering they have to do it.
It's hard to know because, you know, guys like Brian Windhorst keep saying that, look, it's not going to be a trade, and then he'll add, like, the odds of a buyout are so small, but yet the window seems to continue to be open. That's what's so weird about this, and that's why it makes me continue to think that he is already applying all sorts of pressure in every which way he can without demanding a trade.
Would they pay him off $53 million to go?
You know, the number that I keep seeing was, well, if he can get like 80%. Like, why would the Lakers want to do that? It continues to be confusing to me why it hasn't just been squashed. And make no mistake, it has not been squashed. Because if it had been squashed, we would know it. It's not. It clearly isn't. There seems to be that this door is cracked open. And look, the one thing that I keep saying is, for anybody that thinks like, oh, he's washed up, and like, well, that's clearly not the case. I mean, he's second team all NBA. And there were times last year where he still looked like a top five player in the entire sport. And people are using the playoff series against him. Like, I've heard some Cavs fans do that. And I'm like, well, you're not allowed to. Because if you're using LeBron's playoffs against him, then what do I do for Darius Garland? What do I do for so many of the Cavaliers that have shrunk, you know, multiple playoffs when obviously LeBron James? I mean, I love how they're using the playoff exit against him more than anything. But, you know, the numbers were still there. He was still really, really good.
Well, because I think anybody's trying to cling on to any reason other than their emotions for not wanting him back to not want him back. So that becomes a big calling card of, well, what was he during the season or what was he during the playoffs? I think is what people make it out to be. And he had only played a handful of games really with Luka Doncic going into that. I mean, there's ways to explain it. And I also say, well, the West is very difficult. I think if you put him on this team right now, they go to the NBA Finals.
That's what I mean. Like in New York or in Cleveland, LeBron has so much of a better shot to win a championship. Yes. Than that spot right now, just because of their roster and how loaded the West is. And I keep saying this to Cavs fans, like, for those that say they don't want LeBron, we're just fine without, you know, the one guy that won us a championship. Somehow we're just fine, even though we can't get out of the second round. Would you be okay if he gets traded to the Knicks? Because I'd pick the Knicks to beat us flat out.
Yeah.
I think that would be a difference maker. Already, I think the Knicks would give us a war. And could definitely beat us.
I mean, if you
traded Karl Anthony Towns for LeBron, yeah, goodbye. I picked the Knicks in a series against us.
If you were okay with him getting traded to the Knicks, you either don't live in reality, you really hate LeBron, and you don't really care for basketball. Those are the reasons. If you were just fine with it, you don't think that they can beat the Knicks with LeBron. Nobody would believe that. You don't really like him, then you really, really, really don't like him. And then you know what? You can say you're a baseball or a football fan first. Because it's not the same. 216-474-0092. I think that he should put pressure on them. I think at some point he should maybe demand a trade if he wants to. I think that it could work out in his benefit. Or if they could buy him out to some level, then fine. I think it might be up for it. Quinshon Judkins in a bit of hot water right now down in Florida, although the details are still a little sketchy. I know he had his court date yesterday down in Broward County, at least to start setting up all this and to talk about him and the future with the Cleveland Browns and what can be done, especially because he's not necessarily under a contract right now. Zach Jackson joins us from The Athletic Forum on Twitter, @AkronJackson. He's on the fan hotline. Hello, Zach.
Good morning, gentlemen.
All right. So what do you know? I know that you were paying attention to stuff yesterday. He was in court yesterday on a Sunday. What is the organization feeling? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this happened quickly. I mean, I landed back in Ohio Saturday night, and I had a message informing me that this had gone on. About an hour later, you know, the Browns had their statement and all that. We don't know a ton. We have to let the facts come out. So we know he's out of jail. He is supposed to be hosting a youth football camp here in Cleveland tomorrow. We will see. But, you know, outside the court case, and we know he's released. I don't think we have a date yet, right? At least late last night for his next hearing.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't. So the next date becomes the end of this week when he's supposed to report. You know, and obviously he's one of, I believe, 30 second-round picks who remain unsigned. The Chargers receiver, Trey Harris, is officially a holdout because their rookies went to camp first on their schedule for the Hall of Fame game. So we'll see. So that adds a different layer to this. So, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but last year Mike Hall's incident happened in mid-August, and it was completely adjudicated within 5 or 6 weeks because he ended up pleading no contest. And so he had gone from commissioner's exempt list to they tacked on the suspension, and it was all done. It doesn't usually go that quickly, but we have to let the facts come out here, and we'll see. And this contract situation with this means he could be in limbo, and he could end up missing valuable training camp time for multiple reasons.
Well, I did want to ask about that. You said valuable training time when training camp time. When something like this happens, normally it's an injury for a draft pick. Explain just why this is so important that guys are there and ready to go.
Well, the first question to Deuce Staley at the end of minicamp when he did his media availability was about how good the rookie running backs looked and what opportunity they had. And he just laughed. And he said, yes, they look good out here in pajamas. We'll see when they get the armor on, right? And that would be 5 days into camp. You know, which at this point is only 2 weeks away. But for any rookie, Anthony, it's just getting in there. It's getting acclimated. It's the speed of the game, the real reps, all of that stuff. So the way I have viewed this thing all along is that Jerome Ford is the Browns' starting running back until he's not. And that how quickly Quinshon Judkins goes from having a role to having the lead role was always going to be up to him, and how quickly he progressed and pass protected and picked up the offense and all of those things. So you know, him being there would be a part of that. And, you know, as far as the draft, obviously using pick 36 on him, that means they liked him, means they had big plans for him. Some teams did like Travion Henderson better, and for a lot of last season, Ohio State, you know, probably did too. But they're both talented guys, and the Browns saw Judkins as the better fit for what they wanted to do and how they wanted to use him. And like I said, even if he wasn't going to be the starter, which I don't think he ever was going to be in game one, there are and were big plans for him, and you just have to see what happens with all of this as far as his availability.
Yeah, so what happens now with the contract stuff? You know, Ken had mentioned right away, like, how do you sign a guy when this is hanging over their heads? And why is it that so many of the second-round picks around the NFL have not been signed?
Well, that part is easy. It's because they're going for full guarantees. And the Browns' first second-round pick got that. Houston signed theirs first, and they're going for full guarantees, and that's kind of new. So when these situations are rare in this new CBA, but when there's a shift in these things, this is when they happen, right? Like what's going on in Cincinnati, where the Bengals aren't bending on language that other teams bend on. So it's the full guarantee holding it up there. It does add a layer here, and we just don't know. But, yeah, this comes down to, in these situations, the NFL begins investigating immediately, right, because of the use of the commissioner's exempt list and all of that. The team begins, obviously, investigating immediately, and they'll just have to trust what they see. I mean, it puts the importance of it being quickly of finding out, you know, what they think really happened here. And so, you know, maybe that will take care of itself in the legal system. We don't know at this point, but certainly him not being under contract adds a layer of mystery and potential complication in terms of him, you know, being on the field. If the Browns have qualms, or if there is, you know, a drawn out legal process coming up.
Why are there so many second round draft picks not signed?
It's because they're all going for full guarantees, Ken. that's because the first two to sign got them. So they want that. Generally, your first rounder gets all the first rounders get it fully guaranteed or close, and then it cuts off. And so this year, the first two second rounders got those, and everybody else wants them. And so teams have been resistant there. So, like Trey Harris, the only one who's officially holdout. That's a great example. Obviously, the Chargers need help at wide receiver, right? Obviously, he's not a finished product. Like, he needs to be in camp. So, we'll see. And teams, I think, considering 30 of the 32 are unsigned, I think teams were willing to think that they were going to win, that the other side was going to blank first. But we have to see that. Always when these things happen, it's about deadlines. And teams, the rookies are reporting at various times this week. So, you know, you don't officially become a holdout until then. But certainly with the Browns, I think, you know, they have the two returning running backs, Ford and Strong, and then the two they drafted. I think they have one other back in camp because you usually do that. But anytime you're short a guy, even for a day, your whole rotation is affected. And anytime a young player misses time, he falls behind, at least in theory and usually in practice. So that would obviously spur action in terms of where they would have to go. I do think for the most part, the Browns have their 90. I do think they will continue to be looking at wide receiver among other places. But yeah, if he's not going to be in camp, a guy that you would think it was at least going to be your number two running back, you would have to make a move or at least be watching to see who else, you know, what other options you might have at that position.
Zach Jackson with us. All right, let's move on to a player that's been talked about recently. Seems like everybody's been weighing in on whether the Browns should sign David Njoku to an extension. Is he a Cleveland Brown in 2026?
Well, he probably has to be because of how much money he takes up on the cap, whether he's on the team or not, right? But he has to have the David Njoku year of 2 years ago because you couldn't possibly extend him if he has last year's year. And we'll have to see what he wants and where it is. You know, I think there's a chance that David Njoku gets 150 targets on this team. And, you know, if he's healthy and explosive, he turns those into those, and he becomes the unique player that he's been at times, 8 or 10 games over his career. And we'll see. But Teller's in the same boat. I mean, they owed all these guys a bunch of money, but they don't have them under contract. So there's going to have to be more maneuvering here. They just don't have a ton of guys under contract, period. You know, this whole window was designed for last year and this year. So we'll see. And without passing any judgment on what Quinshon Judkins did or didn't do, because we don't know, right? Like, let's not run from it. This rookie class being good might determine whether this front office has any chance to stay.
Well, then that's, I mean, then that ends up being a knock on Andrew Berry, does it not? I mean, if he's not available, it ends up being a knock no matter what.
You know, obviously this is not about optics. This is whatever happened or didn't, but like the optics are awful, Ken, right? I mean, with Mike Hall last year and then this now, and Devin Bush has a pending trial for assault on a woman, right? So the optics are awful. But this, as far as this team showing that it can be a relevant football team, like these young players, and not just the first four picks, but specifically this rookie class, among other guys, young players on this team, no matter how they're acquired, like this rookie class has to be a hit or this thing could go from bad to worse real quick.
Zach Jackson joining us here on the Fan Hotline from The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Akron Jackson. Chances David Njoku gets signed?
Yeah, I mean, we have to let that see how he's going to be healthy. I mean, in theory, did they draft his replacement in Harold Fannin? Yes. What does that mean for the offense? Are both of them used in the offense? Can David Njoku be an explosive and consistent player? Sure. Like I said, I will not be surprised if he's the leading receiver and at least the leading target guy, because they've long believed that you don't have to get David Njoku in complicated routes. You can get him the ball and let him create, but he's got to be available and he's got to produce when those chances come. And, you know, like, he obviously has the rapport with Flacco. Flacco can throw it a little more down the field. But if one of the other quarterbacks is in there, I think you're going to see a lot of quick passes to the tight ends.
All right, what about Wyatt Teller's future? Because you got Zach Zinter there, but you also have Joel Bitonio, who's probably going to retire after this year.
Yeah, Zach Zinter's a guy to watch during camp, because when I saw him playing center in the spring, I thought, is that because they think that he can be the center? in a year, or is that because they're not sure that they have any position for him? And I don't, we don't know that right now. But based on his rookie year, he would not be in the plans. So he just has to improve. And a lot of guys have a bad rookie year and come out, so we have to see. But, yeah, I mean, I think they feel good about their five starters on the offensive line, and they should in different ways, and potentially really good. But, you know, what's behind them and the age of four of those five is concerning. And then the fifth is DeJuan, who's never played a full season. But if DeJuan's a hit, like, that's a big deal. You know, if Cedric Tillman's a hit, that's a big deal. But we just don't know. We have to see those guys improve and stay healthy.
All right, you covered Johnny Manziel. You covered Baker Mayfield when things got started here. How big of a, quote, circus do you think Shador Sanders is going to be, if at all?
I don't know about, like, he, right? I mean, obviously there's elements to his popularity and the fact that he's clearly more talented than any fourth quarterback that's ever been on a training camp field, right? Like, that's just not how it goes. But, yeah, this is strange because they clearly liked that Dylan Gabriel. They said that by their words and their actions, and then they undercut him by drafting another quarterback. I don't know how long you can have a real four-person competition and also get ready for a season. You know, I don't know how long you can give Joe Flacco reps off because he's just played so much more than the other guys, but also think that he's going to be your starter. Like, we have to see how this thing goes. And, you know, I don't know, Anthony, we'll have to see how the crowds go and how everything goes with all of that. But the thing for Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders is they need to be really good early in camp on and off the field because they have to earn reps with better players, because either one of them out there with XFL guys and undrafted rookies is going to have a real hard time, you know, when people are watching. So it's going to be a wild few weeks because the only open practices are the first 2 weeks. Then they have those joint practices in very different situations. And by the time those are gone, like, we're to the end of the preseason, right? So this is like a situation that really doesn't have much precedent. And I, you know, they did have a true competition of some sort back in 17, right? Which led to a winless season, which led to DeShone Kizer playing when he shouldn't have, all of those things. But this competition to me is totally different. And, you know, even though I feel strongly that Flacco will probably be the starter on week one, I truly don't know how this is going to go 1 through 4, or who's going to be here or who's going to be playing in, say, week 9 or week 11.
If there's an odd man out in the quarterback room, who is it?
I mean, based on what I think right now and who it would be, that would be Kenny Pickett. But I think it's way too early to say that with any, because, like, I guess I won't be stunned if Kenny Pickett's the week 1 starter. You know, nothing I've seen in the spring or before that would make me think that's the right move, but I, based on the team's moves, I wouldn't be stunned. So I don't know. You know, I think it's fair to wonder if Shador will ever play a real down. Well, I don't know that because of the situation that he's in. But do I think he has the talent to potentially be a starting quarterback in this league? Yes, but potentially, eventually, not this September.
Zach, I want to apologize for you. I thought he was asking why Quinshon Judkins was not signed. I didn't realize the question. I tuned out through half of the question. I apologize for repeating a question.
You got a lot. You got youth football practice on your mind. I understand.
I looked at my phone, and I had a light up from Keith, and I went, damn it, did I make a mistake? And I did. I'm sorry about that.
Why do you guys start youth football so early? Like, is Hugh Jackson running this league? We need kids in full pads.
Hey, brother. Hey, it's I'm only one voice, and I don't even think I have a vote there. But I'm not going to.
Reckless speculation.
I'm not going to discuss league matters on the radio here. If I had my way, I'd do some things differently, but I can't discuss it.
Well, I'm not coming on anymore unless we can discuss league matters on the radio. So,
Zach, youth sports are now a $40 billion business, according to the New York Times. Your thoughts?
Yeah, there's one scumbag in Akron who tries to make $40 billion every weekend renting out city parks and not even having their bathrooms open.
Oh, my God. Owen, hit the thing, for the love of God.
Go ahead. I want to hear
reckless speculation.
I want to hear both sides. It's important we get to both sides.
I don't want to hear anymore.
Hey, text me that scumbag's name.
Zach, I screwed up. I'm sorry.
If I can make money renting out a city park, I should do it. It's a nice side hustle.
I appreciate your time. All the best and give my very best to the fine folks with Manchester Youth Football.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Zach Jackson on the fan hotline. I'm sorry. When you said the thing, I go, okay, then I can ask in general, why has there been so many second-round picks that are whole? I apologize.
I think we should have led with the scumbag in Akron.
I'm not talking any more scumbags in any more city. We're not doing that.
We'll
I have no idea about
anything. Tomorrow on the podcast.
Maybe tomorrow on the pod. We'll see.
Oh, we're doing it. It's either that or hear about Goodfellas.
If you are the scumbag in Akron, feel free to call us.
The best thing about Zach is that definitely he's getting texts from his buddies in Manchester about the season starting so early. And then here I am like, oh, God, I can't believe we're starting the season this early. Yeah, conditioning camp starts today. Jonah Bear has his first ever sport that he's playing in.
Why is it that so many of the second round picks around the NFL have not been signed?
Well, that part is easy. It's because they're going for full guarantees. And the Browns' first second round pick got that. Houston signed theirs first, and they're going for full guarantees, and that's kind of new.
Why are there so many second round draft picks not signed?
No! It's because they're all going for full guarantees.
No. Okay.
That's because the first two to sign got them. So they want that.
He should have just called me out. Why didn't he just call me out?
I think he was being a professional.
No, I looked at Lima.
That's a Ken Carmen classic.
And I said, second round draft picks all together. Because he looked at me and he said Judkins being a second round.
That.
No, he didn't say that to me. Did you say that to me? I didn't see you say that to me. Because I write these things down on what
he's answering right now.
Damn it. Damn it. I didn't mean to. Doggone it. The heck. I didn't mean to do that. I am sorry. I really, really did. When he got the second round picks, I had thought he was asking about Quinshon Judkins as it was. I did not. It's my fault. It's certainly my fault. I'm sorry. I apologize. Just I'm trying to explain it.
Now, if we do get the opportunity to have Zach on again, I would like to ask him about this brand new weird trend in the NFL, the second round picks. And I just haven't really heard an answer for it.
It's because they're all going for full guarantees.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
That's because the first two to sign got them. So they want that.
Damn it. Also, we asked Zach, and this was the only question we asked Zach, who could be the odd man out of the four quarterbacks in that room? Which then you may be nervous that you would ask every question before that. Who could be the odd man out in that quarterback room? Here's Zach's answer. If there's an odd man out in the quarterback room, who is it?
Based on what I think right now and who it would be, that would be Kenny Pickett. But I think it's way too early to say that with any, because like I guess I won't be stunned if Kenny Pickett's the week one starter. I think it's fair to wonder if Shador will ever play a real down. Do I think he has the talent to potentially be a starting quarterback in this league? Yes, but potentially, eventually, not this September.
All right, that's Zach Jackson. That's what tempers my entire... Like, well, Ken, carry, I know. Yeah, I carry some water. I'm a Culligan man because I'm an excitable boy. But, man, like, when I'm hearing that Kenny could be let go, could be the odd man out, or he could start the season week one, I go, yeah, you better not. I better not be calling anybody for playoff tickets. That cools my jets pretty quick.
It's so crazy that we could have 20 people that either cover or root for the Browns. We could have them all on. And we could all ask him that same question, which is apparently what we do sometimes. But we could all ask him the exact same question, and we would get any variation. Like, I don't think anybody thinks Shador Sanders or Dillon Gabriel are going to start week one. But what I'm saying is, if you were to ask them, forget week one, who is the starting quarterback in week seven after the brutal stretch to start the year? How many answers would you get? You'd get all four, wouldn't you?
Yeah, some point.
Would you rule anybody out? Is there somebody you would say...
No,
there's no chance.
And because there's like...
Blank is going to start week seven.
There's no true, real hope. I think that's part of the reason the fans get so excited about either of the rookies, especially Shador Sanders. But I think that's also where it's like, man, I don't think that this is going to work out too terribly great. However, there is one pundit who believes that it's going to work out better for the Browns than with another certain team in the AFC North. Ty Dunn joined me from GoLong.com, formerly Buffalo News. I was on the Infinity Sports Network filling in for Carrington Harrison on Saturday morning, and he dropped this little nugget of opinion on there.
I mean, for so long in Green Bay, you could see it from the press box. Oh, this is going to be a touchdown because he's going to make that guy miss. He's going to know where you're vulnerable on the back end. He's going to get outside of the pocket, and he's going to create. He's going to improvise. He's going to make a play with Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams. He can't make that play anymore. He's got to be a pocket, timing-based, quick-game passer, and I just don't see that being effective, especially in the division. I mean, give me the Cleveland Browns plan at quarterback over Pittsburgh at this point because at least there's a little forward thinking.
It's Tyler Dunn with me on Saturday morning. You disagree?
That's amazing to hear because while I am kind of with him on Aaron Rodgers, like I'm not expecting Aaron Rodgers to have some throwback season, but I do expect Aaron Rodgers to get by with savvy, not necessarily make a playoff run, but I do think they can be, you know, above 500 like they are every year with Rodgers just understanding winning battles at the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know that we're going to be able to say that for the Browns. I don't know what the positive is for the Browns other than hoping, you know, Shedeur Sanders is great or Dylan Gabriel is great. I'm not expecting Joe Flacco to be as good as even Aaron Rodgers, and I'm certainly not expecting Kenny Pickett to be as good as Aaron Rodgers.
I think he's looking at that from a broad perspective. I think in our situations, it's because for a Browns fan, if you had Aaron Rodgers, say the Browns were to go out and get Aaron Rodgers, what would you be thinking of the Browns right now? It's either feast or famine. If you put Aaron Rodgers with this Browns team, you would say it's very Browns. Go after the big star. Go ahead and make that happen. And then you would say, hey, this has to be a playoff team. This has to be a team that goes to the playoffs and does something in the playoffs with a guy like that. But I think he's looking at it from a long-term planning perspective. I think he thinks that Aaron Rodgers is going to take him to the middle, and it might not work out that way, and he'd rather see if the Browns are taking swings at quarterbacks, and if they don't, if none of them work, you still have two first-round draft picks that you can use your quarterback. You can use to go get your quarterback next year. I think that that's what Tyler's saying. Whether or not you agree with that or not, that's inconsequential. I think he's looking at it from a bigger point of view, from just looking around the league and saying, this team has set itself up organizationally to be better off than that team, which they still would because you gave up a first-round pick for Jalen Ramsey. I would assume that you should sign T.J. Watt to go after a run because what is your goal? What are you trying to do over there? That's my question, but this is still a Browns conversation I still want to say. I just had to drop that bit of information in there or that opinion in there because when Zach tells me, hey, you know, Kenny Pickett, he could be the odd man out or he could be the week one starter, it's like, man, I can get myself excited for a lot of things, but that is a sobering, true statement of what Zach just said.
But do you agree with Dunn? Do you think the Browns are in a better QB spot than the Steelers? Because I don't think anybody really believes that. I was surprised to hear him say that.
Can I give you my answer later?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.